Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. We could have spent some time on that one.
Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh, saints.
How about that?
There it is.
It kicks in. What we have been dealing with for the last few weeks and I don't know about you. I'm just thankful to know him. You just don't know. When you really come to know him in a real way, like when you need him or didn't think you needed him, and he shows you something, he shows you his love, he shows you like that his promises are true. You can't go back to not knowing him, not wanting to be around him, not wanting to learn more about him. I don't know about you, and I keep saying that, but I'm excited to keep learning about him. I'm excited about hearing what he has to say about my life. Seeing myself, and I tell people this all the time, you got to see yourself in the scripture. Little did I know I would see myself in the way. I didn't see myself as the Hebrew boys in the fire. I'm seeing myself in other situations, but he's a deliverer. He's a healer. He's a sustainer. He's a provider. He's a joy giver, a shalom giver, peace and pastor. Come on. Do y'all really? I don't know. I'm just coming up here. My heart is so full because I'm just thankful with who he has shown himself to be in my life. My responsibility is to let you all understand that you need to be able to use the tools that he's given you when you're all by yourself. There's this thing going around my friends and, you know, I need that. But your friends ain't always going to be there. I'm telling you that right now. Listen, I have friends. But your friends ain't always going to be there. And at times when you really need something, they have a tendency to disappear. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? But I know a friend that no matter what you are going through, no matter where you are, no matter how dark it seems, no matter how dire it looks, he's always there. Come on. He is always there. He's not going anywhere. And I need you to know him like that. And that is my responsibility, to tell you that everything is not always going to be a walk in the park. Everything is not always going to be rosy. And these words that we are delivering to you and we're trying to tell you are words that when you need them, when you least expect it, you're going to have to draw on those words, his words. There was somebody listening to this message that we were teaching on faith. And then the next, within that next week, tragedy struck. And it was the words that we spoke here that completely turned that situation around. One of our members almost lost her husband, hit by two trucks. But the faith that she developed by hearing the word of Yahweh raised that man up. And now he's doing all right. That's what I'm saying. He wasn't expected to live. But they grabbed a hold of what? Faith. The word of Yahweh. And I said, listen, even weeks before my challenge came, I was preaching on myself and I didn't know it. I said, listen, y'all, you even when you're thrown in the fire, you're going to have to, remember that? You're going to have to stand and believe him in the fire. And that next week, your boy was in the fire being barbecued. But the word ringing in my spirit. So a lot of times, don't allow yourself to sit in his presence and let the word go in one ear and out the other. Grab hold to it. I'm telling you, it is a life-changing experience. And so this is what we've been talking about. Previously, I was talking about faith for destiny. Within these last couple weeks, and this is the third week, talking about faith and the anointing, because the Holy Ghost, faith along with the Holy Ghost, it's a potent mixture. And you all have to understand that there is something so powerful that is working and operating inside of you. And so last week we were talking about, and let's go here. Let's go to Acts, the first chapter. And when we're talking about the anointing of Yahweh, we're talking about his power, his presence. And we're talking about that when the word goes forth, the word is anointed. Say the word is anointed.
The word is anointed.
That means the word has power on it. They're not just words. He says, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So his words have the spirit attached to it. It's like the water with the wet. You can't take the wet out of the water.
No, you can't.
The wet comes with the water. So therefore, the anointing comes with the word of Yahweh. It's just there. The power comes with the word. The word that he spoke when he created the heavens and the earth. He spoke a word. He said, let there be light.
Yes.
And there was light. But this is the thing that trips me out. I'm a science geek. And they're saying that the universe is still unfolding.
Yes.
And the universe is unfolding at the speed of light. Which means that the word that Yahweh spoke millions of years ago is still unfolding. Even the scientists have to say it's growing. And the speed of which it is growing is the speed of what? Light. That tells me that scripture is real. And as a science geek, I see scripture in everything. I see scripture confirmed in science when I'm looking. And so the word is real. And this is the thing that people don't seem to believe that the word is real or that it doesn't apply to them, but it does apply to them. And so here, if we go to Acts, the first chapter, the fourth verse, Yeshua was the ambassador of the word and bear his name. You know, when we say Yeshua HaMashiach, do you know what HaMashiach means? The anointed one. So what does that tell you? Yeshua is what? He's anointed and he's also the word. He's the living Logos. And so when you have that combination, it's powerful. So everywhere where Yeshua went, there was power. This is what I'm trying to get you all to understand. Everywhere you go, there's power. Everywhere you tread, there's supposed to be power. But you have to have faith in the power that you possess. I believe that as I'm walking along, the anointing of Yahweh is radiating from me. And it's changing situations. It's changing, it's giving me favor. It's changing people's mind. It's working in my favor because there is a wonder-working power in here. And it is working and it is moving. And I believe that when I walk into a place, I can change the atmosphere. Because of what? It's not because of me, but it's because of what? The anointing. Say the anointing. This is what happens. A lot of us don't believe that we possess that power. But all we got to do is speak it. And Yeshua, he possessed that power. If we go to Acts, the first verse, first chapter, the fourth verse. And it says to them, and we just to recap a little bit, I got a few minutes. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. So Yeshua told them, listen, I'm getting ready to go, but I'm going to send a power. The Holy Ghost is going to come. And when the Holy Ghost comes, you're going to be able to perform and do the things that I need done on this earth. You will be able to transact spiritual business in my name. And so it says, the second verse says, for John truly what? Baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with what? Holy Ghost, not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But this part right here, but you shall, say you shall. Receive what? When? It's come upon you. And you're going to be witnesses unto me where? In Jerusalem? All Judea and the Samaria and unto the what? Who's going to possess that power? Tell your neighbor, you are.
We are.
And where are we supposed that? This is a command. We're supposed to take this power. So I'm supposed to take this power wherever I go. Inglewood, L.A., Long Beach. Wherever I go, I'm taking what?
Power.
The power. He told us, you're going to be able to take it to the what? Uttermost parts of the world. Shout out where you go. Where y'all be going? We take this power with us. And then listen, it's supposed to be observable. People are supposed to see, wait, there's something different about that sister. There's something different about that brother. Because of the what? The power, the anointing. Somebody say power. Somebody say anointing. Somebody say Holy Ghost. Somebody say Ruach HaKodesh. Hey, that's the Hebrew for the whole. Come on, say that word again, Ruach HaKodesh. Don't that sound like it has power? That's supposed to be the very breath of God. The Ruach Kodesh. And he put that in us. Why would he put that in us? Tell your neighbor, we got stuff to do. And we need the power to be able to do that. And so go here to Matthew, the 9th chapter. And this is where I kind of left off last week. Yeshua was going to someone's house to perform a miracle. And on the way, this woman had the audacity to stop him. And it says right here, and behold, a woman who was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the what? the tallit, the hymn. A lot of people think it's the hymn. No, it was the tallit. He wore a prayer robe. And on that robe, there was this, the tallit was the robe. And tallit means little tent. So it's your prayer tent. And so he wore that. And so scripture said that he would have the Messiah, the coming Messiah, would have healing in his tallit or his zizi, the sleeve of it. That's what they call it, the hem. And being translated, that's the wing. So I've shown these people this before. So the way they fashioned it, picture this all the way up. And this is the tallit I'm wearing. This is the sleeve of it. This is the wing. This is the zizi. And she said, if I can just touch that part. Because scripture said, prophecy said that the Messiah would come with healing in his wing. And this is the wing. So all I have to do is just touch that piece and I'm going to be healed. Somebody say faith. And that's what she did. And so here in scripture, because he's carrying the anointing, the power. So it says for Yeshua. So 21st verse, for she herself said within herself, if I can touch this garment, I shall be what? Whole. And Yeshua turned about. And when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. But he wasn't going to see her. He was going to see this next person. But because he carried the anointing with him, the anointing is ever ready. Amen. Say ever ready. Ever ready. It means it's always there. So listen, y'all, you don't shut the anointing off. Keep the anointing burning. See, I keep the anointing on me. Even when I go to work, I keep the light lit. I stay lit in the good way. I stay lit. Why? Because I don't know when somebody is going to need to draw that power. See, you guys, and this is what I'm trying to get you all to understand. If you really grab hold of this power, you don't have to tell a person, I need to wait until Pastor Tom come and then he can come. And you, if you need healing, you can lay hands on yourself. You can lay hands on your family members because you possess what? The power of the Holy Ghost. And so he was on his way to somebody else's house. And when 23rd verse, and when Yeshua came to the ruler's house, that's where he was on his way to, and saw the minstrels and the people making noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but she sleepeth. They called him to the house because the girl was dead. And he told the people that was in the house, nah, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. And they laughed at him. This is where we get the part that we talked about last week. The atmosphere in which you reside in is called ethos. Say ethos. And your ethos needs to be a clean atmosphere. Because faith loves to operate in the right ethos. In the right what? Atmosphere. That's when I was in the hospital, I only want people that believe like I believe around me. I wanted people to be able to say the same thing I said. Right? Well, a lot of times you let people into your ethos, your atmosphere, your surroundings, and they don't speak the same thing you do. They're like, these folks were. Now, if these folks didn't, but what are they laughing for? What kind of people was in this dude's house? Unbelievers. And so 25th verse said what? But when the people were translated, put out. Why? Because for faith to operate, he needed the right atmosphere. So them people had to what? And this is where I left off last week. Some of y'all got people in your house. Maybe. Yeah. You got your quote-unquote friends. Because last time I checked, friends are supposed to want the best for you, right? I was reading an article a few weeks ago that said that most people's friends really don't like them. Some of them are around to get what you got or just to be nosy, just to be busy. But they're not really looking out for your best interest. Because as soon as something good happened, and I had to tell my daughter, listen, broke my heart to tell her, everybody ain't your friend, baby girl. And you have to be able to control this ethos. And what was the definition of ethos that we had last week? Ethos is the characteristic spirit of a culture, era, or community as manifested in its beliefs and aspirations, the character, climate, or atmosphere of something. So you carry around an ethos with you in your home, where you go. And a lot of times, faith needs the right ethos to operate in. It needs to be able to be filled with positive, the things that come out of your mouth. When you say, my sickness. Listen, you've already claimed it. When the doctor let come out of his mouth, you have stage 4 colon cancer. And there's nothing I can do. I never let those words come out of my mouth. Never let the cancer word come out. And then when he completely delivered me and completely cleaned me and took a grapefruit-sized tumor and made it disappear. Come on. I had to have the right ethos. I had to make the right confession. And I never claimed that thing. That thing was not supposed to be there. I said, in the name of Yeshua, and these were my words. I said, dry it up. In the mighty name of Yeshua. And for the same doctor that opened me up and said that he could not do anything for me, to have him come back again 4 months later and open me up and say, where did it go? Everything that was there is gone. Same doctor, not a different one. But I was determined. I was determined that if I've been told, and that's why I'm telling y'all, even the family that came up for a dedication, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart. See, those words of faith, I grew up in Sunday school hearing that stuff. And all of the things that I heard from a kid all the way up to a 51-year-old had to all converge and build me up and lay a foundation for me to stand on. Say, if I've been taught this ever since I was a kid, Mother Collins, she was my Sunday school teacher. I was just a little kid. You can do all things through Yeshua. I mean, through that, then it was through Christ that strengthens you. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in his name. Those things stuck with me. So when my moment came, all of the teaching, all of the word, everything that I had been told, I was like, okay, you said it. I've been raised in this. So therefore, if this thing is in me and you said in your stripes, I'm standing up here on for communion. I can't count how many Sundays that said that he had healing was in those stripes. Now, I need you to handle this. And I came boldly. I didn't go crying, oh God, will you please? Oh, I was like, you said that you would do this. And then when it happened, oh, when it happened, you gotta believe this thing, y'all. You gotta go here with me. See, y'all don't understand. Y'all don't believe, as my mother used to say, that fat meat is greasy. Go here. Go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. My heart is full daily. When I wake up and see the light of day, and that's why y'all better believe this thing. Because one day you're going to have to draw for this, for something. 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. There's a duality here. Stay with me for a minute. You can conceive some things. You might have an idea of something. So things that you hope for, things usually based upon your past experiences, and you have a certain expectation. But then when you really get in this faith thing, he does your expectation. And then he goes beyond that. Give you an example. All y'all got birthdays, right? You know, everybody makes a big deal about their birthday. I do too. Mine is October 26th. And I don't just celebrate my birthday October 26th. I celebrate my birthday for the whole month of October. Because I just have a certain expectation, right? So I know that my birthday's coming, and I know that I'm going to receive some of the stuff that I know that I'm going to get. And then there's some stuff that is wrapped up that I have to unwrap, and some stuff that I didn't expect. So with that anticipation, you have the anticipation of your birthday, but then there's still some element of surprise. That's how faith is. I expected the thing to be gone out of my body, but I didn't know how dramatic he was going to perform that thing. I didn't know how many people were. So, yeah, I had an expectation that I was going to be healed, but the way that it happened, didn't know it was going to go down like that. That he would use that situation. I knew it wasn't unto death, but that I would be able to have a testimony. That something that was the size of a grapefruit disappeared. See, son, she got it. When you're operating in faith, yeah, you expect some stuff, but he goes beyond your expectation. He takes it to a whole another level. Yeah, there's some stuff. The substance of things hoped for, that's the first part. That's the icing on the cake. But when you cut that thing open, there's some evidence of things that I didn't see. And you serve a God that does so great a thing that you don't even, he'll blow your mind. Because he doesn't just do the thing. He does the thing and then some. This, I'm trying to get y'all to understand this thing. A God that says, hey, yeah, you're in this situation, but I need you to walk like you're healed, act like you're healed, talk like you're healed. I did that. And then I said, Yahweh, I got doctor bills. I need you to handle this. Because these people are calling me, and it's only been a couple months. Bill collectors. He says, don't worry. That next week, somebody took my resume. Because I said, listen, I need to, because people think that, oh, the church is paying you. No. I need to make that clear. Because that's what a lot of people, oh, yeah, I don't go to that old church because the preacher take the money. Guess what? This preacher ain't taking no money. Everything that you put in goes back into the ministry to do the work of Yahweh and do the things that Yahweh has ordained that this ministry do. That's what it does. Well, how was you getting by? Because he blessed my wife with a good job. I was taking care of the business here and she was working. Hallelujah. That's how I had the insurance and stuff that I had. Yahweh provided that. But then when I told him, I said, listen, praise Yahweh, I love you, Yahweh. And I'm going to keep on preaching, but I need you to break off a brother. Because these are some unexpected expenses. Do you know what my God did? He said, no problem. He said, just give your resume to your cousin. I gave my resume to my cousin. Within the next week, the hiring manager called me and said, we want you to come in for an interview. I said, Yahweh, well, I got this. Told him, I said, Yahweh, I got this, I just finished surgery. And I have this. Not the bag. They took the bag off. Y'all, I've been through so much stuff. But I'm counting it all joy because it's a wonderful testimony. I had a drain on me. And so I was like, well, am I supposed to go to the interview with this drain on? Holy Spirit said, take that drain. You wrap that. He showed me how to wrap that thing up. You get yourself one of them things around the way. You put that, you wrap that thing up. I wrapped that thing up. And I went to that interview, 12 people. And I hadn't really even been out the house that much, but they had put me, you know, it was, but 12, interviewing with 12 people, you would think that that would just, when I tell you, I walked through those doors and Yahweh gave me this peace that just passed all understanding. I said, since you manifested this, I already got the job. It's already mine. And this dude walked in there like he owned the play. I was like, yes, I'm Tom Washington. How are you? How are you? Yes. I was going on down the line. Then there was four people on the speakerphone that was in another state. Yes, how are you? I didn't even worry about the questions they were asking me. Every question that they asked me, the Holy Spirit gave me the answer, and it just flowed right out of my mouth. I was not nervous. Nothing. Then, the next week, see, I knew the Holy Ghost had worked. But no, not the next week, in a few days. Mr. Washington, the HR person was called. Yes. They want to make you an offer. I wasn't surprised. I said, sure. I was expecting, and this is the part that I expected them to make me an offer and then I'd have to go back and forth. I was expecting that part. But I knew I was expecting an offer. What I didn't expect was for her to tell me, Mr. Washington, what do you want? Of things or hurt. I said, okay, let me try this thing. So I counted up the cost and then added some other stuff on top of that and some other stuff on top of that that would make me super comfortable. I almost doubled that thing. And I was like, this is what I want. Then I went back to the substance of things hoped for. I'm hoping for what I gave my figure down. They came back in a couple of days. We have an offer to send you. I said, okay. I opened up that email, and it was more than what I asked for. It was more. That was the evidence of things not seen. So this is in January. He performed all this stuff. I had to go to another surgery. I had a surgery scheduled for February because I was believing, get this, y'all need to understand this part. I had not gotten word that this thing had shrunk inside of me. I still had a colostomy bag here on my right side. And here I am going on job interviews and negotiating that I thought I would have to negotiate. But all I did was just tell them what I wanted. And then I got more than what I wanted. And then they said, okay, when can you start? And this was in January. And so in February, I was like, well, they're going to take this bag off and they're going to put me back together again because this thing is gone. But I had not gotten word that that was this case. And so I told them, I said, okay, this is faith talking. I know it's January, but I can't take this job until March. Sometime, mid-March. Here I am telling them that you can't have me for 2 months. The HR person was, oh, I wasn't sure. I said, because there's some things I have to tie up. I was telling the truth. I had a couple things that need to be tied up. So February came. So she said, I don't know. Let me go to the hiring manager. The hiring manager said, comes back a couple days later. They said that they will wait for you. All right. Anytime you come, they will wait for you. And I hadn't had surgery yet. So this is what, see, this is what I'm talking to God that we serve. So then February, so I'm like, okay, if I'm going to start this job, then you know, Yava, all this stuff need to be gone. This bag need to come off and all of those places that they said there needs to be, that it has spread to, it needs to be cleared. And that tumor needs to be gone and they need to clip off that wherever that was and then bring these two pieces together. And then my whole insides needs to be able to come alive again. And all this needs to happen before I start my new job. February came. They opened me up. Everything was gone. They said, okay, there's nothing but a dead shell there. So we're gonna clip that dead shell off where the tumor was, and then we're going to put your intestines back together again. But you might have, I said, mm-mm. It was like, you might have a little, No, mm-mm. When you put that thing back, he said, this is what he said, and I never told you this part. They said, well, when you cut it off, there may be a part that's a little smaller than the other one. And so if they can't fit it together, then they're going to have to maybe cut down the line. I was like, nope, that's not happening. It's going to come together perfectly. That's what I'm telling the surgeon. He hadn't even known me. No, it's going to come together perfectly. And then he was like, and then, well, if it doesn't, we may or may not have to leave this thing on. I was like, no, this thing is coming off.
The colostomy bag is coming off, and then you're going to take that part, and you're going to reconnect that too. There was like, oh, well, yeah, well if we do all that, you might have, you, everything might not flow down. You know what I'm talking about, right? I was like, no, it's going to flow down, and it's going to come out. I got to tell y'all this part. Because they was expecting all of these complications. And I was like, no. He was like, you know, we got to plan for every... I was like, no, everything is going to be perfect, Dr. Grant. Everything, you going to see. I'm telling you already. And sure enough, the two pipes fit together perfectly. And then he was like, well, there may be... Everything might be able to go... No, I said, it's going to go through. He said, man, it might take time for your insides. I was like, no, my insides are ready. They're ready to come back alive again. Well, you know, that part hasn't been used for these months. Listen, somebody's like, why are you saying all that? Because I'm trying to tell you the God that I serve, how powerful he is and the wonders that he does. I expected something, but then I couldn't see what was inside of me. But I knew that whatever they were telling me, it was going to have to come out textbook perfect. And sure enough, they connected me back. And I was sitting there with Stephanie and I was like, well, how you feel? Is you feeling anything moving? I was like, yeah, it's coming alive. And then she said, Mr. Washington, something should have happened. I'm like, don't worry, it's going to happen. Maybe I shouldn't say this. But when that dropped, I was praising Yahweh. I'm telling you. Oh, glory. Listen, y'all don't understand. See, listen, I was in a situation where I had to do this thing differently. And when he restored, y'all don't know. It was the evidence of things not seen. He actually, and then made it better, in my opinion, than it originally was. He's good like that. But this is what I'm saying. I'm telling you the intricacies of what I went through. Because you may not have to go through anything nearly as complicated or complex as that. What I'm trying to say, tell you is that if he can do that, he can do anything. He can do anything for anybody. And if you look at the scripture here, second verse says what? For by it, the elders... I can tell you right now, this boy right here, I'm one of those elders. Because now you done heard my testimony. I have a good report. So no matter what it is that you're going through, you can say, hey, he did that for Pastor Tom. I know what he can do for me. I'm living proof that he's still performing miracles and doing things that are exceptional even right now. He's still doing it. Tell him, he's still doing it. I'm believing. Third verse says what? Through faith, we understand that what? He made the worlds out of nothing. All he did was what? Spoke it. So that things which are not made, which are seen, were not made of things which... The devil wanted to take me out. He wants to take you out. He wants you to fail. He's going to put pressure on you. And I was put in a, I was in a pressure cooker. But in that pressure cooker, Yahweh gave me peace that passed it all understanding. When somebody tells you, we're closing you up, there's nothing we can do. The enemy was saying, well, you need to just lay down and just die. He said that to me. I said, I bind that in the name of Yahweh. I said, I ain't done yet. He's got stuff for me to do. And this is not unto death. He's going to use this as a powerful testimony to other folks that he's still performing miracles. But I have to believe that. I have to believe that. Go here. And I'm going to leave you with this. Johannes 16, 32. Yeah, I have people around me. But most every night, I had to be in that room by myself. And at night, dude can sleep. Why? Mr. Washington, we need to take your blood. Mr. Washington, we need to take your vitals every 3 hours. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You in the hospital, and don't y'all want me to rest? No, we need, they wake me up. Can't y'all? Then I had to tell the nurse, I said, can't you just take the blood and let me sleep? And in that process, they're sticking needles in me. I had needles where they had, the first hospital had completely burnt my veins out because they had put potassium in the drip. And the other hospital kept sticking it in different places. Finally had to stick it in the top of my hand. See, somebody knows what I'm talking about. And as they stuck me with needles and pulled this and pulled that and all that, I was there by myself. And the Holy Spirit still gave me peace. Where I just, it was like, here, Mr. Washington, I was like. Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, is now come. And this is why I'm teaching you guys this. That you shall be scattered, every man to his own. Somebody say woman. And shall leave me alone. Somebody say yet.
Yet.
Yet. Yeah, yeah, I'm alone, like, by myself. Like, in the natural realm. But in the spirit realm, I'm not alone. And this is what just makes me well up with tears, because the Father is with me. He will with me. And I'm trying to tell you, listen, people are not going to be there. And you're going to be alone. And you're going to have to muster up and scrape enough faith out of that jar to be able to stand on your own feet and realize that even when you're alone, the power and presence of the Holy Ghost is still supposed to reign. In you, through you. And I had to get it. And I had to let it come forth. And 33 says this, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have shalom, peace. In the world, In the world, you will have tribulation.
But say this with me, please.
But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And because he's overcome the world, you can overcome anything. Come on, y'all.
We're going to talk about that word. Say overcome. Overcome. Next time we get together next week. That word right there. There's so much packed in that word. But the simple part for today is that if he's overcome the world, you can overcome anything. Anything. Father Yahweh, thank you that we have overcome the world. Thank you that your word says we can do all things through Mashiach, Yeshua, that strengthens us. So we ask right now, Father, continue to let your word reverberate inside of us. Continue to let what you say and what your abilities are, and that's really what it's all about, your ability, and you've placed that inside of us, that let that become real in our lives, that we'll grab hold of that, and then we'll understand that there is a wonder-working power in us that you want revealed to the world. So you give us testimonies, Father Yahweh. You provide opportunities for us, Father, to work our faith. And we thank you for this, Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen. But keep your head bowed. Maybe there's somebody here that says, listen, I want this relationship. I have said this before. I am not a special person, Tom Washington. I just believe. He said what his word is, and I just believe it. And because I believe it, he's able to perform his word. And so maybe you're saying, listen, I want that same relationship with the Savior. I want, and heads are bowed right now, I want that same relationship with the Savior. If that's you, you can have that relationship. I'm here to tell you, you can have it. He wants to give it. All you have to do is raise your hand and say, I want that. I want that in my life. And I'll pray for you for it. I need that.